Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
No rush to make a move just to make a move. We've got to focus on looking for opportunities that we feel strongest, add long-term value. We don't need to get rushed, caught up sort of in the rush of the deadline for the sake of making trades, but rather just really focus on good decision-making for the Pirates. What are the kinds of players that we want going forward that have a chance to help us win?
Mr. Ben Cherington, the general manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and with that, let me be the first to say good morning to you from 93.7 The Fan. Live and local from our Green Tree Studios, it is the early morning show here on this Tuesday morning. My name is Matt Cole. Be with you to about 5:40 before the Fan Morning Show pre-show. As always, and Ben Cherington laying out what was the approach for the Pirates at the trade deadline yesterday. The 4 p.m. marker came and went yesterday, and Cherington and the Pirates made no noise. Nothing. Who knows how active they actually were or how many potential deals were out on the table, but we know that the Pirates obviously stood pat completely outside of a Jerod Dyson trade, of all people, back on Friday. So what does that mean for these Buccos? And I start here this morning. And I'll get into plenty. I hit all the highlights here today. I've got some defined topics moving forward. The Leonard Fournette news, of course, from yesterday. What that means. Does it mean anything for us here locally? And also, a coach here locally said something that was not great. Definitely not great. But sticking with the Buccos here, the scarier question, I think, is this roster really so bad that nobody around the league is even willing to give up some, say, international bonus pool money or a lower-level prospect to bring them on and help them win down the stretch? Are they that useless of players around the league that nobody jumped at it? Or is it the less, maybe, apocalyptic thought that Cherington was just being patient and didn't want to jump into trades that he wasn't completely confident in the return for? We'll never know the answer to that. Never go behind the curtain, maybe until years later or whatever, if Ben Cherington ever writes a book about the 2020 season. I don't know why he would, considering how it's going. Or maybe because it's been historically bad. Maybe he will. We'll never know, but... And that's despite what Ben Cherington might say in the coming days about it as well. To me, it has to signify this. That this building process, and by the way, can we drop the whole build, rebuild thing? Like, who cares? Really? We all know the Pirates are years away from contending. What's it matter what they call it? Why are people so hung up on that? Like, okay, Ben Cherington doesn't want to say the word rebuild. Whatever. Why do we care? We know what it is. We can see it. It is what the process has been for many teams in Major League Baseball and in sports, period, over the years, decades. It's a team that's trying to build up talent again, whatever you want to call it. So whatever this process is, that it's going to take longer than maybe anyone expected. And that's including, I think, the fans and the front office. Because essentially, in my mind, what I see here with the deadline passing and no moves being made, and another loss last night to the Milwaukee Brewers, despite, you know, showing some heart and sticking with it and not giving up and battling a little bit, but still losing 6-5 and falling to 10-22 on the season, is that 2020 is largely a lost year. You haven't found anything out about your team other than you'd feel comfortable moving on with just about everyone on the roster. That's it. Is that really what you wanted to accomplish coming in? And you couldn't even get anything for the ones that won't be around beyond this year. 2020 was always about evaluation and development for this team. But how can the Pirates have done either to this point, given all the injuries and given just how bad these players have been? You know, outside of, I think the only guys that have overachieved this year is Jacob Stallings and Eric Gonzalez. Maybe, and Chad Kuhl as well. I'll throw him into the mix on the other side of the ball. Unless there are tremendous turnarounds in the second half for some guys, even then, with 28 games left, I don't know if it's going to be a big enough sample size to even tell anything. But the only thing that can save them and provide some kind of productivity for this season, other than just to throw it away in the record books and say it was a 60-game season, we didn't do a whole lot, and we're just going to reset for 2021, is Cabrian Hayes. And he apparently is being called up, according to reports, very, very soon. And personally, I think he should have been here from the very beginning of the season, or as soon as he was available after having COVID. I mean, it's a kind of a scared approach, I believe, that he wasn't. And it's exactly the kind of approach that they need to get away from, that they were way too heavy-handed in the past with this old regime, in keeping guys in the minor leagues to protect them and to protect their confidence and whatever, not giving them a shot in the major leagues until much later on. And maybe there was problems in the development process that even led them to thinking that way, and that's a whole other discussion. But I think you saw last year, despite his struggles this year, that Brian Reynolds got his shot in the Major League Baseball and made the most of it, hit over 300. And if it weren't for a couple injuries, we never would have saw him last year. So they can't be scared of that. And sure, you lose a year of eligibility on the back end if you bring him up this year. Super 2 status, whatever, controllable years on his contract. Can't be concerned about that. The guy's 23 years old, you play him. If he's good and he's worth it, you're going to have to pay him anyway. So what's it matter if it's a year sooner? You're going to have to make that decision down the road. That's not going to change. And at least he's here and we have someone to monitor for the rest of the year. And it's weird that he comes in right as Colin Moran comes back, so I'm sure that'll add to the vortex of lineups that Derek Shelton brings out. But I think this is kind of worst-case scenario. Whenever I saw that there was no moves made yesterday, that was signifying to me that everything pretty much... I mean, I hate to start off the morning like this, but this is just how I see it. Everything's gone wrong for the Pirates in 2020. They stink. They're 10-22. They can't make any or at least many determinations about the future based on how these guys have played, based on the injuries. And they couldn't even move any of the assets that aren't part of their future, that they know aren't going to be part of their future. And so in a lot of ways, it's been just disastrous. And it even added on to that with the trade deadline coming and passing yesterday without any moves being made. So on that cheery note, good morning to you on this Tuesday. Coming up next, some things you may have missed otherwise in the sports world, especially if you're up this early. And we've got some Steelers and some Pitt things to talk about before the end of the show today. It's all coming up next. It's the Early Morning Show right here on The Fan. It is the Early Morning Show. Welcome in on this Tuesday morning. Some things, if you're up this early, that you may have missed from last night. Let's get to it.
Time now for While Jens Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
First in the NHL playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs from last night. The much later game was Colorado and Dallas out in the West Coast. Colorado with a 6-3 win over the Stars there, so they keep their season alive. That series now at 3-2, Dallas leading that one. And then in the Eastern Conference, in what I think is probably the two best Eastern Conference teams, I think both of them, well, maybe not without Halak, or without Rask, I'm sorry, for Boston, maybe not better than Philadelphia or the Islanders. But that series was at 3-1. Tampa Bay was up heading into last night, and that game went into double overtime, and the Boston Bruins fell in double OT. Victor Hedman with the game-winning goal at 14-10 in the double overtime, and the Tampa Bay Lightning are moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals. And Vasilevskiy makes 45 saves, and it'll be the talk of the town, I'm sure, in Boston, and has been since he left, is the impact of Tuukka Rask leaving the bubble and essentially leaving the Boston Bruins in a bit of a lurch. Now, there's been conflicting reports on what exactly he left for. He didn't provide any details other than he was going to go see and spend time with his family. There are rumors out there, or at least some reports, I guess. I saw a CBS Sports, a reporter there, said that his daughter was in the hospital. Regardless, he's going to get, you know, of course, lambasted by that Boston fan base. I just can't jump on board with something like that. There are just things outside of sports that are bigger than that. But of course, that's going to come down on him based on the results of last night in Boston being eliminated from the playoffs. Also from yesterday is that the trade deadline may have come and passed and nothing happened for the Pirates, but things did happen for the San Diego Padres. And now they are being called baseball's most exciting team, or at least Mike Clevinger, who's now a San Diego Padre coming over from the Cleveland Indians, said that this is the team to make a serious run, and that he at least is calling them the most exciting team in baseball by far right now. It's kind of the place to be. And they landed two catchers, Austin Nola and Jason Castro, as well as Mitch Moreland. And also got two relievers in Trevor Rosenthal and Trevor Williams, the other Trevor Williams, of course. And I can't necessarily disagree. The Padres are loaded up, ready to go. And that's kind of exciting to see. Here's a smaller market franchise, I guess. I mean, San Diego. They've spent some money in the past, maybe not smartly. And I've gone through a lot of years of mediocrity and just below average play, and now they're making their move and they're going for it. And you know what? I'm rooting for them. They are an exciting team. They got Hosmer, they've got Machado, they've got Tatis out there. Got a lot of pieces in place to go make a run, and I think I'll be pulling for them for the rest of this baseball season. Also from yesterday in college football, despite the state, and the state being Iowa, being a coronavirus hotspot, Iowa State planning to have around 25,000 fans at their home opener. And they're expecting that much with social distancing and mitigation strategies implemented due to the pandemic, of course. But they're going full steam ahead. 25,000 fans, they think they can spread them out enough and make it work. Oh, I don't know how to feel about it. I don't, because I don't have a good feel about how big that stadium is and what kind of mitigation or protocols are in place that can fit 25,000 fans safely. So I don't know if I can fully make a comment on it, but that is certainly that's certainly bold doing that. And that's probably the largest number that I've seen as far as a football venue for this upcoming season of 25,000. So we'll see what happens. We'll see. Also from Major League Baseball again yesterday, and I can't believe this, is that the Reds and the Cubs got into a benches clearing incident. And that is a key word here. It was just an incident a couple days ago. And the Reds and the Cubs get into it all the time. David Bell, their manager, the Reds manager, and Jesse Winker each got one game suspensions. And will be served on, or we were served last night. And Cincinnati plays St. Louis Cardinals as well as undisclosed fines. for just coming out and basically talking about things. There was a pitch that went behind Anthony Rizzo's head in the fourth inning. There was some yapping after that. And the benches cleared and they all just got together and talked about it. And there were suspensions and fines involved. How have we come to this? I mean, I understand that Major League Baseball doesn't want everybody to convene in a big circle, I guess, because of COVID. But really, we're going to fine guys and we're going to suspend guys now, even if it's just for a game, for talking. We're just getting together and talking about, you know, maybe ripping on each other's mothers or whatever goes on in those big scuffles in the middle of the field. That's hard to believe. All right, coming up next, Leonard Fournette. I mean, it was the obvious topic whenever he became available later on yesterday morning. Do the Steelers take a look at him? I'll give my thoughts on that, as well as Pat Narduzzi saying something not so great. We'll go over the details of that. That's all next. Mm-hmm. 5:27 on your Tuesday morning. Welcome in. It is the early morning show for just a few minutes before the Fan Morning Show pre-show at 5:40. 9 o'clock today on the Fan Morning Show. Pitt head basketball coach Jeff Capel checks in. Talk about the upcoming basketball season. Any decisions are being made? What are the conversations like there? What are we going to see? That's at 9 o'clock today. And then 9:30, our weekly hit with John Wehner, The Rock, Pirates broadcaster. We'll talk about some Bucco baseball and a deadline that didn't feature a whole lot for the Pirates yesterday. That's at 9:30 on the Fan Morning Show. All right, Leonard Fournette, that was the big talk of the NFL town yesterday, that he was flat out waived, released by Jacksonville. Two-time 1,000-yard rusher, had 9 touchdowns a couple years ago, back in 2017, when, of course, that Jacksonville team came into Heinz Field and beat the Steelers in the playoffs and almost won the AFC Championship game against New England. That feels like an eternity ago. And, of course, the talk all turned to Leonard Fournette. He's out there. Steelers? I really don't think we can look past the fact that the Jags couldn't get any team around the league to even give up a 6th-round pick for the guy. And maybe the NFL saw that the Jags were desperate and they may make this move when push came to shove to just flat-out release him. But no team wanted to part with a lower-level pick to just ensure that they got him. Just to make sure that they were the team and they didn't get into any kind of bidding war with him once he got into free agency. I mean, I'm looking at this right. He rushed for 1,152 yards last year in Jacksonville and also bumped up his receiving game as well. As we know that, you know, this is part of who you need to be as a running back in the NFL this year. He had 76 receptions. Granted, for only 522 yards, but he improved that part of his game, and nobody went out to get him. I mean, the Steelers gave out a 5th-round pick last year. 5th-round pick for Nick Vanette, a backup tight end. This shows that either his reputation is much, much worse than we think. Whatever he did inside that locker room that makes Jacksonville want to part ways with him, and of course they are just jumping ship on their entire roster right now, or the NFL just truly refuses to give up anything for a running back anymore. Like, they just see that and say, yeah, we can get that somewhere else. We can get 1,152 yards on the ground and 76 receptions with somebody else. The Steelers aren't going to sign him. I think there's less than a 1% chance, in my opinion. They want to see what they can get from James Conner. They like what they have in Benny Snell. They drafted Anthony McFarland, and he's getting rave reviews. It's a nice thought, I guess, and of course I knew that the conversation was going to go there. But they've got kind of Fournette light with Benny Snell, their homegrown guy, and no locker room issues. They're already tied up against the cap. They're already trying to sign someone like Cam Hayward to a long-term deal when they don't necessarily know what the cap figures are going to be like across the league after this year. Obviously, things are much tighter than they usually are in doing business. I don't know what kind of price Fournette would command, but with it seems like 80 running backs on the roster already, I just don't think he goes there. And I'm not even sure if it would be, you know, a prudent move to make at this point. Throw my hat in the ring for Tom Brady to pull some rank, though, and get him to Tampa to use that new organizational power that he, of course, apparently never had in New England. And maybe, you know, makes a comment to the front office and said, hey, I want this guy. And he lands there in Tampa Bay. That's just a speculation on my part. All right, so Pat Narduzzi, of course, the head coach of the Pitt Panthers, said something pretty dumb that came to light yesterday. Of course, in today's Gotcha Society, this video is before Matt Canada ended up with the Steelers, based off of some of his comments here. And he never mentions the name Matt Canada, but context clues definitely lead you to believe that he's talking about his old offensive coordinator. Here's Pat Narduzzi ripping his former OC.
I had an offensive coordinator, I won't even mention his name, at Pitt. He spent 8 months with me, left, okay, to go take one of those big jobs for $1.2 million. And I said, I don't think you want to go, okay? He's like, well, it's a lot of money. I'm like, and I got him a lot of money. I got him $1 million at our place. So it was like, maybe he went for 1.5, I got him $1 million, which is just crazy. You know, like, really? I don't even think he was worth $1 million. But, I mean, it wasn't even that good. But, yeah, he's a good friend. I was like, listen, you're stupid to go. I said, you go there, you're starting your whole career over again. I said, you stay here for another year, have a good year, you'll be a head coach. I'll send you out of here a head coach. No patience, okay? So have patience in the profession. He goes there, gets fired before the end of the season. There's turmoil all in the newspapers. Even before, I mean, it was a miserable season for the guy. He's gone. Goes and gets another job, okay, after that, and he's gone from there. And he's been in three jobs in 3 years. And, you know, good luck finding, and he's out of a job right now. But he could have been in one place, so be patient.
Oh, boy. First of all, to say that he wasn't that good, Matt Canada, is just, it's flat out wrong. It is just wrong. Incorrect. Pitt averaged over 40 points per game in that season that Matt Canada was the offensive coordinator of the Pittsburgh Panthers. And since they have averaged about 23.5. So you tell me if he was any good or not. And I know the personnel was there with James Conner and Nate Peterman that, you know, left after that season, but come on. That is almost doubling your points per game. Secondly, Narduzzi is, I think, a fierce, you're on my team or you're not kind of guy. The way he's gone after James Franklin over the years and has kind of, you know, rekindled what was, of course, that Penn State rivalry. I get the sense that he wants you all on board or it's nothing else. Like, you got to be completely on his team or he wants nothing to do with you. And I think that kind of mentality caught up with him here. But man, that is a stupid thing to say. Matt Canada brought him, I mean, really, Matt Canada brought him the most success he's had in his entire coaching career at Pitt. That was the best season he's ever had. I mean, yes, they had an ACC championship appearance after that, but kind of a victim of a weak coastal conference or division, and they got blasted by Clemson in that title game. That was Pitt's best team under Pat Narduzzi when Matt Canada was here. And way to reveal how much money you gave him and how much he was offered in private conversations about salary compensation, too. I mean, geez. This is a bad look for Pat. There's no way about it. Not only with a guy that he now shares a facility with on the south side, things could get awkward there, but for his other coordinators on his staff. Is that really how he's going to talk about them if and when they leave? And maybe it is just a certain situation with Matt Canada. Obviously, there were some hard feelings there whenever he left. But Pat, this is college football, man. Guys leave. They come and go as they please. They jump from job to job. You have done so yourself, moving up the ranks. That's how things work. You chase the opportunities. You chase the money when they're there. You jump on those things. And that's part of how Pat Narduzzi got himself to Pitt in the first place. And I was actually going to say today that Matt Canada has really intrigued me with this offense, the Steelers offense, that is, and what he can do to switch things up. And it's funny that, you know, I kind of planned that out throughout the day yesterday, and then I saw what Pat Narduzzi said about him. I really think Anthony McFarlane, if he really is this game breaker that everyone claims he is, and we haven't seen a whole lot of him outside of, you know, some training camp practices. Ray Fittipaldo joined the Fan Morning Show last week and said he's got a different gear of speed, plays at a different level, that he could end up being more important to this offense than a guy like, say, could be, like a guy like Benny Snell or Chase Claypool. If Matt Canada brings in the right pieces in place, the right plays in place to use a playmaker like Anthony McFarlane, a game breaker, it could be those big chunk plays that the Steelers need to keep the ball moving, where he has four or five carries for 45 or 50 yards. And then Pat Narduzzi will be watching it and shaking his head, I guess, on Sundays. All right, let's wrap up the show today with this.
It's time for Gone in 40 Seconds. One last 40-second take to send you into the rest of the morning on the Early Morning Show. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
Seems like the running back position is under attack once again in the NFL. Consider what was revealed to us in a two-hour span yesterday. A former first-round pick, two-time 1,000-yard rusher Leonard Fournette, flat-out released by Jacksonville after he couldn't get a single team to bite on any kind of draft pick to take him. Okay, sure, the Jags are a mess, but then it was the Saints' Alvin Kamara that's been absent from camp for, you guessed it, yet another running back contract dispute. We play this game every single year. The league just doesn't value him like they think they should be valued. They're replaceable, which is why the Steelers have so many of them this year. They're just keeping up with the times. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The sun is shining on budget-friendly deals with 32 new and used vehicles under $19,996. Today, mostly cloudy, humid, and warmer with a high of 85. And then tonight, mostly cloudy and humid, a late passing shower, and a low of 70. The pre-show, it's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.